And then we're also, though, starting off our missions month, and we make no bones about it. We love missions. We love missionaries. We love the chance to give our money to missions, and it's one of the most joyful things I believe our church gets to do, and that is support missionaries around the world. And so we're so thankful that you're here on the night that we begin this push. We started this morning. And so our friend, Brother Bowman, is the African director for BIMI and in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so he's also a friend for a long time. He's a member of our home church, and so we're so grateful that he and his wife are here. We got to fellowship over lunch today, had a great time, and we're just so thankful that the Lord has brought him our way tonight. And so with all that being said, we're going to remind him that as soon as we get done, we're going to go to an ice cream social, but we're going to listen intently to everything you have to say. You can guarantee that. So come on up and preach for us, brother.
I don't believe a word of it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you would, open your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians. We'll just get right into the lesson right away. Praise the Lord for already the beautiful music. And but I like preaching to the junior age also. That's a special group. I surrendered to be a missionary when I was an eight-year-old boy. Amen. During a revival, sat right back over here, walked down the aisle. God bless every parent that a child makes a decision for Christ. When that child comes home, bless every parent that encourages that child to follow God's leading. Amen. The sad thing is, as many times we can be preaching, we can be able to, God can be working, and the Holy Spirit can be working through the lives of the young people, and when they make a decision for God, they come home. Sometimes they don't get the enthusiasm when they are at home. Oh, let me tell you, there's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And there better be a great host of parents and grandparents today that are hoping that God will get a hold of your children and your grandchildren are in that other class back there. That God will get a hold of them to get the children on a mission, that they will be able to hear about the cause all around the world. I enjoyed the music. Boy, the Lester Roloff song took me back. When Jesus came. How many of you are glad that Jesus came? You know, the gospel is good news. I'm so glad we got the good news. But it's only good news if it gets you in time. I remember I was in language school. It was the first time I had the opportunity to finally go through the entire plan of salvation in Swahili. And I've been trying to witness to my language teacher for quite some time and not actually getting through, it seemed, on several things. I finally was able to get through the entire plan of salvation, and finally he stopped and he looked at me and with full understanding said, "Is that what you've been trying to tell me all this time?" And then immediately he turned and he said, "Well, what about my father?" I said, "Well, what about your father?" I said, "Let's go. Let's talk to him." He says, "No, you don't understand. He died last year." He says, "We never heard this before." He says, "You people from America, you've been in our country many times, and we've seen you, been around. We've had your businesses. We've got your Coca-Cola. We've had all of that for many years." He says, "But if this is truth, why has it taken so long? What about my father? He's never heard that." Oh, may we understand the importance of getting out the gospel, no matter where we are, no matter where God has placed us. The importance of the gospel goes far beyond our lives, our importance, our agendas, our schedules. May we know that God has his hand on us and he has given us a wonderful message to give. Amen. Young people, give missions a chance in your life. Give God an opportunity to work in your life. But tonight, the Lord has laid on something different to be able to speak. And We've got some handouts there. Also, my great heart is to help our missionaries all around the continent of Africa. Of course, around the world. I've been in many different countries there, but my heart is Africa. I know my African missionaries there right now. We have over 120 around Africa. And let me tell you, Satan is in full force right now. I believe that he can know the signs of the time and he can read them a whole lot better than we can. And right now it seems that it's pedal to the metal and he's causing all kinds of disruption, discouragement. I spend hours each week in counseling, not with the unsaved, not with people that are church members, but with God's people, God's leaders, and missionaries on the field. We need to pray for God's servants. I hope you pray for that man right there and his dear wife and his family. You pray for your pastor. Always be a source of encouragement. May God help us to see the importance of prayer. You have your Bibles open there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just going to read a couple verses there. Verse number 23, I'll begin. And the very God of peace, aren't you glad he is? May he sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, may you come quickly. Amen. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. How many of you are glad for the faithfulness of God? We don't live in his strength. We don't minister in his strength. We don't sing in his strength. In our strength, we do it in his strength. Amen. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. He will perform. Anytime that we feel like we can't be able to witness, anytime we feel discouraged or we feel a little bit of fear coming in, and the Holy Spirit is prompting us, let's give a track here. Let's give a witness here. I don't know if I can do that. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. He'll work through you. He'll speak through you. He's able to give a track and a witness to a veteran just on my way to church tonight. Someone who from the outside looks rather rough. Can tell, he'd been going through issues in his life, service dog next to him. But God works through every situation. Faithful is he who calleth you also will do it. But my text is the next one. Paul. The great missionary. The apostle. The one who is caught up into the third heaven. The one who is able to see and experience some amazing things. And one who even performed some miracles. The great missionary. Says in the next verse, let's read it together in unison. Brethren, pray for us. What's the purpose of missionary cards? Summer, you just got some of yours done up. Your picture looks a whole lot better than mine, I guarantee you that. That was the wrong timing. All right. But what's the purpose of these cards? Is it that we missionaries are narcissistic? We need huge business cards with our big picture. Huh? What's the purpose of it? I had one person tell me he used it as a diet program. He said, if I got all these missionary cards on my refrigerator, and he says, whenever I get hungry, I go to the refrigerator and I got to pray through all the missionaries before I can open the door. Because by the time I pray through all of them, I'm not hungry anymore. So, I don't know. What's the purpose of it? Of course, the name gives it away, doesn't it? It's a prayer card. Summer's going to be going through churches and going all around, sent out from your church, going to be going around raising support. And you know what? That support is important. You make sure that you're faithful in your faith promise commission, faith promise giving there, and your commitment to the Lord. Make sure you're faithful with that. Why? Because it helps the missionaries get to the field. It helps to pay the bills. It helps to get the churches planted. It helps to get everything that's needed there. But let me tell you, a lot of times we forget one important thing, is that your support helps to get us to the field. It's your prayers that helps us to stay on the field. A lot of times we say that the missionaries, the prayer part is for the missionary prayer band or the ladies' missionary group. Thank God for every godly lady that prays for the missionaries and does all that they can. But what about us men? What about us holding up our missionaries in prayer? Tonight, I'm going to do my best in the few remaining moments we have tonight to simply explain to you what a missionary means when he says, "Brethren, pray for us." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would now meet with the few moments we have. Help us as we go through these brief points, but Father, most importantly, you know my heart. May you be exalted. I pray now, Father, that the missionaries that this church supports and who's on the minds and hearts of these members, may they get the prayer cover and the prayer support that they need. Father, you know what's needed. And I pray that you would magnify yourself this evening. Feed us from your word and help us to hear what your spirit has for us to understand and to grow and to apply to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. How to pray for missionaries. You have your notes there. I have a few things there. First of all, I'd like to say real quickly, we need to pray for their courage. Pray for their courage. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to go here very quickly. I'm going to read through these verses here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Paul asks here for utterance and boldness and the ability to explain the mysteries of God. Why? At this time that he was writing, he was in a Gentile area. He was in Rome, working through all the different languages there, working with all the cultural differences that are there. And let me tell you, language acquisition, as I explained in Sunday school this morning, the language acquisition and the cultural understanding is one of the greatest courage killers for a missionary. We have our missionaries there, almost all of them are college graduates. Some of them have master's degrees. A couple of them have earned doctor's degrees. We have professional people who have made multiple figures in the professional world, completely surrender their life, and now are working in some of the remote places of Africa. But let me tell you, they are reduced to that of a child, learning all over again the basic understanding of language. Speaking baby talk in that particular language. Learning the right gestures, the handshakes, the little things that we think is so unnecessary and peripheral. But let me tell you, when it comes to the gospel, and when it comes to presenting the gospel, and when it comes to making our life be as becometh the gospel, it makes all the difference in some of these remote areas. We need to pray for our missionaries, make sure that they have courage. I remember after I learned Swahili, a year and a half in language school. And then it would still take me, preacher, it would take me 3 days to write out my Sunday morning message. I'd have to get it all, do my studying and write it all out in English. Then I have to translate it all into Swahili and trying to get it all words and agreements and everything just right. And then I would have to memorize it. Because I had to write it all out. Because I couldn't just speak off the top of my head with that. So I literally had to write it word for word. And you know how uninspiring it is if I had to get up here and read my sermon to you. So I would try to memorize it, get it all right. 3 days to be able to preach a short message. And I remember one of my first times preaching, and I was just struggling, trying to get everything together, and I gave them all that I could. I used every single Swahili word that I used. I did everything I could, and it lasted about 10, 15 minutes. And you're talking, most of these people have walked 2 or 3 hours to come to church. I walked out towards the back, and one dear old lady, she said, "Hey, missionary, I don't want to walk all the way back home. Get up there and preach it all over again." Courage killers. I have people saying, "Use an interpreter. We can't. You'll never learn this language." And let me tell you, if I listened to the evil one, and if I listened to his agents, I would have never learned the language. I would have never been able to effectively work in the heart language there. But let me tell you, John 3:16, Kwamana jinsihi mungu. That's God. Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu. Hata kam towa manawe peke. Ili kila mtu amwaminie asipote. Bali awe na uzima wa milele. John 3:16 in Swahili, let me tell you, it's just as beautiful in Swahili as it is in English. Oh, yes. And it's wonderful to be able to learn the language and be able to communicate in it. But let me tell you, your missionaries right now are struggling because Satan is doing all he can to discourage. Pray for your missionaries. Pray that they'll have courage. Quickly, the next thing we need to pray for quickly is we need to pray for their character. Pray for their character. Well, Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Pray that your missionaries will always be on guard. Pray that Satan, who is that roaring lion, oh yes, pray that he will not have victory over their lives. Keep that hedge of protection around the missionary. Paul emphasized self-discipline in order not to be a casualty. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." We've had enough castaways, have we not? We know of good godly people who have gone aside and had Satan has won a victory in their life. Pray for your missionaries that wouldn't happen. Pray that they'll also stay focused. It's so easy to get sidetracked. When you're on the mission field, you got home repairs, vehicle repairs, everything, and you just can't call the mechanic. You just can't call the hardware store. You can't call the man to come and repair something. Many times he's got to do it himself. Oh, and so many times that we get sidetracked doing the good things and not always the best. Pray. Hebrews 13:18 says, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly before God." Pray that our missionaries will have the right character to stay focused, to stay from sin, to stay from temptation. Pray for their character. Nextly, we need to pray for their care. Pray for their care. As I tell missionaries in their departure interview as they get ready to leave for the field, they've gone all through deputation. They've raised their funds, raised their support, getting ready to leave for the field. And somewhere I'll just give you a prelude to some of that. I tell the missionaries there, I said, you know, when you go to the mission field, you're not on the front lines. No. We are all on the front lines. Anytime you engage someone with the gospel, you're on the front lines of evangelism right then. And we need to make sure we are regularly there. Amen. Satan, there's opposition that's right there, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And let me tell you, God works and God can work through you. We are on the front lines. But missionaries, many times, they are like paratroopers that just got paratrooped behind enemy lines. You're behind the lines. And therefore, when things don't work right, it's okay. You're normal. It's not supposed to. Missionaries are constantly struggling with trying to get everything there, trying to get all the equipment and supplies and repairs and everything. Notice the prayer request from Paul. You have it there, 2 Thessalonians 3. I'll read quickly those first two verses there. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. Let me tell you, some missionaries are dealing with some very difficult situations. Some are dealing with witch doctors, voodoo. Paul felt this culture stress also. And I encourage even our missionaries when they are going through culture shock and stress of all of that, they wonder, did the apostle Paul go through it? Oh, yes, he did. When on his second missionary journey, when he went a little bit further in, he said when he went into Asia, he says, for we not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed without measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. When you pray for the missionaries, pray for their care. Pray for their support. All under the care here. Missionaries living by faith completely depend on the churches. You know, we have no idea what's going to come in from month to month. We trust the Lord. That's why we depend on every one of you to be faithful in what God has laid upon your heart to do. We would pray that all the missionaries and all the churches continue in that way. Paul had his supporting churches. Can you believe that? How would you like to be? Well, who's the missionaries that your church supports? We support the Apostle Paul. Whoa, that'd be good. Think of the return on that investment, amen? You have no idea the missionaries you support, what God is really doing through them. Oh, may we realize the potential that every person has with the gospel, especially the missionaries that are on the field in the foreign lands working through all of these issues there. May we pray for their care. Paul is talking about the Philippian church who supported them. It seemed like for a point they did not support him for a little while. But he says here, but now you Philippians know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. What a blessing to have been a part in Paul's ministry. Seemed like they stopped for a little while and they came back again. Later on, he writes, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Oh, we need to pray for our missionaries and pray for their care, that God would bless, God would help. Pray for their protection. Pray that God will have their needs met. Pray for their physical needs, their emotional needs. If someone will be separated from family. Right now, we have issues right now where parents are going through very difficult surgeries and the children are on the field right now. Brother Bowman, can you please pray? Pray for my parents. Pray, I'm communicating with them. Pray that they will continue on. Pray that they will continue strong. Pray for them. Pray for their care. Pray also, number four, quickly, pray for their children. Their children. Their families. How many of you know that Satan doesn't play fair? Satan will do all he can to cause disruption. And he will try to go through any link he can to cause disruption in a ministry. Once again, we pray the hedge of protection around the preacher, around his wife. Don't forget the missionary children. Pray that they will enjoy being in the ministry. Pray that they will have delight in coming alongside their parents to be able to work, and God would bless and help them. Pray a hedge of protection around each family member. We see in the verse there, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Thank God for families like that. They've addicted themselves and their work as a family. Thank God for this family here. They have addicted themselves and they're working for the cause of the gospel. We need whole families like this. Just like the one that sang this morning. Amen. We need our families to go together, minister together. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for their children. Lastly, would you please pray for their churches, their ministries there. Pray for open doors, more opportunities they have to give out the gospel. Paul says there, and you see in the verse there, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And for praying withal also for us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Pray God will open their doors for them. Pray also that they'll get direction. As we have the verse for the Macedonian call, where the Macedonian came in the vision at night. Paul was praying for direction. He wanted to go a particular direction, a particular way. The Spirit suffered him not. And then the Macedonian call. Pray that God would give the missionaries direction there too. Pray for grace. Paul says, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Pray for the national churches, the ones that are autonomous now, that are continuing on. Satan wants to disrupt those works also. Pray for the national leaders. Satan will do all he can to disrupt that. Pray for wisdom and training as the missionaries are investing their lives in these people that have been coming to Christ and turning their church and their ministries over. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. And let me ask you, for the few minutes we have remaining here, would you please, when you take a prayer card, if you have prayer cards at home, I hope you regularly go through them on a regular basis. You say, what to do? How to be able to pray? That's the reason we printed this out tonight. I hope you'll take those notes and put it with your prayer list. Put it with your list of the churches, the missionaries this church here supports, nearly 100 or so ministries that you mentioned this morning. And when you pray for them, pray for these points. Pray that God will help and to bless. Oh, the sad thing is, as many times as I'm going through one right now, a missionary resigning from the field. We're working through counseling right now. You know, it's really easy for us to be able to be critical sometimes. Well, missionary was working in Africa, and now they're no longer there. They've had to return. We've known stories of maybe men in the pastorate and failures and problems. It's really easy to get critical. But let me ask you, how well have we prayed for them? Have we done all that we can to lift them up in our prayer on a regular basis? God wants us to do much more than to give. Much more than just to go. And you know what? I don't quite understand all the different finer points of prayer and how God somehow hears our prayer and helps make all things happen someplace else. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It seems like he would do things anyhow, right? Why would it depend on my prayers? But there's a mystery there. God wants us to pray. Remember the great prayer request, the only prayer request that Christ ever gave us. And what was it? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He'll send forth laborers into his harvest. May we pray. May we do all that we can to lift up people like the Apostle Paul. And when he turns to his supporting churches, by the way, the church at Thessalonica was one of those churches of Macedonia in great poverty and in affliction and great persecution. He turned to them. brethren, pray for us. And may we do so in a faithful fashion as we begin this missions month. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would bless. And I pray, Father, that you would have helped now these few words that I gave this evening. Oh, Father, it comes at an incredible weight. We very glibly say we pray for missionaries, and many times in our prayers are simply, God, just bless the missionaries, Father. And Father, your Spirit can be able to take some of those things, and you can be able to work great things, even through our feeble efforts. But Father, help us to pray earnestly for our missionaries, to know them by name, know their children by name, pray for their individual needs, pray for their care, pray for the ministries there, pray for their children, pray for their courage, and all the things that were mentioned. Now tonight, would you please help your people to work those through these areas of prayer on behalf of your servants, in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just simply want to ask you something this evening. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life in relation to missions? Hey, preacher, I give out tracts. Praise the Lord. I give to Faith Promise Missions. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad you do. Well, how well do we pray? How many of you could perhaps say with an uplifted hand, preacher, I don't believe I've prayed as much for our missionaries. Would you please pray for me that God would enable me to pray more for our people, our missionaries? Would you, with uplifted hand? Oh my, yes, yes, nearly everyone. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your goodness. And I pray, Father, through the few words tonight that you have exalted yourself and your choice servants. Help us now through this mystery of prayer to intercede on their behalf for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let me just have the invitation like this. I was convicted, and Brother Bowman, I didn't know what he was going to preach tonight, teach tonight, but I was so convicted, and this thought came to my mind. If our missionaries are counting on my prayers, I mean, if I'm the only one, how much do they get prayed for? And I'm afraid that's not very much. So Stephanie does such a good job getting our Wednesday night prayer bulletin. We go through our missionaries systematically. And, of course, it's on other lists. You have that. But I'm just so convicted that I need to pray more for our missionaries. You know our family gives to missions like most all of you all do. But I believe Brother Bowman's been on both sides. He's the director now, of course, for the Africa. But he was in Kenya for years and served. And I believe you heard from a man tonight that really does mean it when he says, if you're going to give or pray, I'd rather you pray than give, because I can find somebody else to give. So I'm just asking all of us, if you wouldn't admit that like I'm admitting it, that I'm not praying like I should for our missionaries. You know, I pastor this church, and there's a lot going on. I try to pray through things, but our missionaries, they need us. More than just to have Bert send the check, they need us to pray for them. So obviously we're open up the invitation, the altar, you're welcome to come, but maybe just sit there in your seat and do what I'm doing, and that is, Lord, I need to pray more for our missionaries. If everybody prayed as much as John Herdman does for our missionaries, how much would they get prayed for? I'm afraid some of them it's not very much. So I want to adjust that tonight, and I want to endeavor to pray more for our missionaries. We try to give the tools, and I want us to use them. Like I said, our Wednesday night prayer meeting, prayer notes go through our missionaries. They're listed in other ways. I challenge you to get one of those lists. Come early, come late, pray down the hall. However you do it, let's pray for our missionaries. Now, Lord, I pray for us that you would help us do more in the great ministry of prayer for our sweet missionaries. Lord, we have problems here, and we live in the good old United States of America. So, Lord, if we're having these problems on the front line, as Brother Bowman mentioned, how much more are our missionaries who are behind enemy lines having? Lord, you've convicted my heart, and I want to do more to pray for our missionaries. Bless us, dear Lord. And church, may you pray with me if the Lord's working your heart. If he's not, then take it up with you. Just do what he leads you to do. But I want us to be a prayer band for our missionaries because they need heaven's help. And we can pray for that. Father, bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together? Maybe there's some other need on your heart as the ladies play something through. If the altar's open, you're welcome to come up and pray. You're welcome to pray there at your seat. Whatever God's doing in your heart, I pray that you would do business with Him. It's 15 to 8. It's just a little bit later than normal, but we're great on time. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. Brother Bowman preached about how to pray for our missionaries. Why missionaries go is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're sitting here in Gray, Tennessee. Maybe you're not sure that you're saved on your way to heaven. It's not what he preached about, but boy, it's sure been heavy on your heart. If that's you tonight, would you slip out and come and let me meet you down here at the front and take a Bible and show you how you can be sure Jesus is your Savior, heaven's your home. Maybe you have some other spiritual need. Maybe you need to be baptized and you'd like to come present yourself, and we do that in a service real soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Whatever it is, as they play through another verse, if God's dealing with your heart, I challenge you to do business with Him. Thank you so much. You can look this way. And as I said, you know we're going to pack a lot into tonight, and I trust that each aspect's been a blessing to you. We moved our ice cream social to the Family Life Center instead of here in the courtyard because right about this time we were in fear of rain. I don't know if it looks sunny from in here, but it's also 86. Excuse me. It's also 86 or 87 degrees out there. And so we decided it'd be a good idea to move in where it's a little cooler too, so we're a bunch of wimps. But you say, well, what about in those other countries where they don't have air conditioning? If we didn't have it, we wouldn't use it. But since we have it, we want to use it. So we're going to dismiss to head over there. And I don't know that you don't pray for ice cream, do you, Brother Dan? I mean, how can you pray that benefits your body? Sanctify it. Lord, do a miracle on its way down. Okay. All right. We'll try that. And I believe, Brother Rochester, you're all going to play just a little bit, but you're going to send somebody back to the table, right? So you won't have everybody play. So here's how we'll do. They're going to play us a few songs, a couple songs, whatever they do. You can sit in here and listen to them. You can make your way across to the Family Life Center, and as soon as they're done or while they're, it'll just be a way to mill around and won't be in such a hurry. But I'm going to ask Brother Bowman and his wife to slip out to the table there in the lobby. And I want you to get one of their prayer cards, and I want you to pray for them. You may think, well, he's a director for BIMI. The African director, they're all missionary supported. He doesn't get a salary from BIMI. He gets mission support just like any other missionary. So pray for him. And then somebody will be at the Rochester's table, which is right behind the columns there. I challenge you to get some good music. If you get a CDs or get a flash drive, download it because it'll be a blessing to you. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs ought to be playing in our homes, in our cars, and all that. And so I challenge you to get a lot of that music, and we'll have a wonderful time together. Father, thank you for the evening. I do pray that you bless the fellowship and the refreshments over there. And Lord, thank you for those that have gone to the trouble of getting it. Pray that you bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't be in a rush. Make your way across there. Listen to some good music. Get some good music on your way out. God bless you. We'll see you over at the Family Life Center with a bowl of ice cream.